You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Nasser El Arabi. Nasser, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man.
Awesome. So Nasser is yet again another person from my real estate mastermind that is on my show. And again, there's just such a wealth of talent that I love picking off guys from my group and having them on the show. So I appreciate you being on today.
No problem, man. It's a pleasure.
So Nasser is out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The name of his company is Real Estate Busters. I love that name, man. Real Estate Busters.
Yeah.
And he just launched a brand new podcast called The Flipping Empire. And if you check it out, I happen to be one of the, I guess, original guests. So I feel pretty honored about that.
Yep.
All right. So Nasser, tell us how you got started in real estate. How did it all start for you?
It all started back when I was 19 years old, and I overheard my father talking about the guy next door who flipped the house next door, saying he bought it for $150, put $20 into it, and sold it for $270. So I was doing the math in my head like, holy moly, this guy made $100,000 on the house.
Right.
So at that point, I was sold on real estate, and I said, I want to do real estate. But I was 19, of course, so the first people I went to ask about real estate were people who didn't do real estate. So my father and his my father said, hey, you know, my friend fixes credit. Go over here and get your credit fixed and you can buy a house. And I bought my first house, I want to say 5 years later at 24.
Wow, not bad. 24-year-old buying a house.
Yeah.
Very cool. And how did that work out for you?
Horribly.
Of course. Everybody's first deal is usually like the worst, right? First or second deal usually.
Yeah, it was horrible. So me and my partner, we lost like $7,000 apiece.
Oh, brutal. Yeah,
we did everything wrong in the book, though. So, I mean, it was, you know, our fault. We did everything wrong.
And so was that a house there in Charlotte?
Oh, no, that was actually back in Jersey.
Oh, okay. So you're originally from Jersey. Gotcha.
Really from Jersey. Yeah, Elizabeth, New Jersey. So basically what I did at that point was I have my bachelor's degree from King University in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I just went ahead and I was like, well, let me, I'm ready. Nothing's holding me back now. So I relocated to Charlotte down in 2008.
Okay. Gotcha. I'll tell you what too, man, when you're 24 years old and you get stung for $7,000, that hurts, man. Cause most 24-year-olds don't have any money.
Correct.
I'm sure that hurt. And yet you were still motivated to stay in the game, right? Move to a different market. And so how did you pick up with real estate then in Charlotte?
I was still young and stupid. you know, why dish stupid? So I was still young and stupid. So I bought one rental property. Okay, this is back in 08. Recession was horrible. So, you know, I still haven't gotten to read any yet and learned about my craft. So I, in 08, I came up with, well, it's not really a flipping market, so I got to buy rentals. So 2008, I bought one rental, the traditional way. 2009, same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, after that, I found out that I couldn't buy any more properties because my debt to income was too high.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh man, my real estate career is over. Like how, like what's going on? So I was talking to a site director at my job and, he recommended a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Oh, yep. I think we all know it well.
Yeah, that book changed my life. And man, the thing that changed my life, he said, just because you own four houses doesn't make you an expert. You have to learn about real estate before investing in real estate. Just because you earn some stocks, you have to learn about stocks before investing in stocks. So I stepped back and said, whoa, I missed the whole step. I never learned about real estate. So after that, I joined my RIA, found out about the RIA. Joined all that, did the local real estate investment association and learned about wholesaling. And ever since then, it's just been all about progress.
So this is 2009, 2010. You're working a full-time job, right? And, yeah. And investing on the side.
That's correct.
And really, you're truly just an investor, not really flipping. You're not really from the business standpoint. You're more from the investment standpoint. So what was the catalyst for you to really move from just, you know, being sort of a passive investor with a full-time job to somebody that's full-time in this game?
Basically learning about real estate investing. Like, I didn't know prior to that, I didn't know anything about wholesaling. You know, I thought at that time flipping houses was dead, which I'm not going to say it was dead. You just had to know how to do it and what you were doing with your numbers. But what the change was just basically learning about real estate.
And so what year was that for you that you said, all right, you know, 9-to-5 job, I'm out of here. I'm doing this full time.
Well, I got fired in September of 2012.
Okay. Well, that's the catalyst, I guess, that got you to full-time real estate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So even between 2009 and 2012, I guess, were you doing wholesaling? Were you trying to do some stuff on the side at that point?
Yeah, definitely. I was wholesaling at my job. Yeah.
Okay. And is that why you got fired? Hey, you're doing too much wholesaling. You're not paying attention.
Nah, they fired me because I just couldn't do the job.
Gotcha. Yeah. So 2012, you say, okay, I'm going to do this full time then. And is that sort of been, was that sort of your launching pad then?
That was my launching pad. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So bring us up to date. So what are you doing now? What does your business look like?
Right now I am wholesaling, rehabbing houses, also buying rental properties.
Okay. What's your volume look like?
My volume right now, I'm pretty much doing about like somewhere between 30 to 40 wholesale deals a year.
Nice.
I have 4 rehab projects going on. I'm getting into new building.
Nice.
I'm getting into some new construction. So, and I have a small rental portfolio, but my rental portfolio, my goal is to have it small, but have it free and clear.
Sure.
And at that point, I'll decide how I want to grow it.
Gotcha. Fantastic, man. Well, give us maybe some insight into what your business looks like then today in terms of how you're running it. I mean, in Charlotte, what is the Charlotte market like? What are you doing to get deals?
I mean, Charlotte, I mean, it's a seller's market here right now, like most major cities. So it's a seller's market. The market is hot. It's back. Everybody and their mother's a flipper again. Yeah. Deals, it's extremely competitive. But the way I find my deals are direct mail, mm-hmm. and the We Buy Houses signs.
Okay. Do you get a lot of traction on the signs?
Yeah. It's pretty good. I mean, I for 100 signs, I probably get me like one deal a month.
That's not bad. Wow.
No, I didn't bad at all.
Interesting. You know, it's funny. I got a warehouse that we keep all our stuff in, and I literally got a couple hundred We Buy Houses signs sitting in my warehouse that were just, I keep forgetting to tell people to put them up. We're sort of lazy about signs. I mean, we're more of a direct mail, but crap, if you're getting one deal a month off of signs, maybe I need to get back on it and get some of those signs up.
Yeah, I'm just not consistent with it, man, because the city be on my back, man.
Oh, that's the you know, that's one of the things we learned in Metro Atlanta, too, is don't be in the city limits of any city. So, you know, if we're unincorporated county, usually we're fine. Nobody touches us. But the second you get in the city limits, they've got their, you know, zoning patrol out there looking for those signs, calling, threatening you, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's funny. So direct mail, who are you sending to? What's the list that you like the best?
I like absentee owner.
Yeah, absentee. That's sort of the go-to list. That's a great list, though.
Yeah.
Absentee. And then, I mean, 30 to 40 deal wholesale deals. Are you taking all those calls yourself, or you got somebody in your office helping with that?
I'm actually taking all those myself, man.
Are you really? Are the calls coming direct to you?
No. They go to an answering machine now.
Okay.
And I call them back.
Gotcha. Are you using like Ring Central or anything? Or are you just...
I'm using CarRail.
Okay. Very cool. And then all the calls. And then you're calling, you're screening, and then are you the one going out there and viewing the properties?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. And negotiating the deal on site if you can?
I don't do too much negotiating on site. Okay. Go home and say, hey, you know, I got to consult with my partners. Mm-hmm. And call them back, and we do the negotiations that way.
Gotcha. And then in terms of the flip side for wholesalers is, you can lock down all the deals you want, but if you don't have buyers, then you know there's no point. So what are you doing in terms of finding a good local investor to buy those wholesale deals from you?
I got a real strong buyers list at this point. So, I mean, for the most part, my buyers list, it just consists of people who actually do deals. You know, right now it's not really hard to find buyers because of the market. But, I mean, I get buyers from the auction. I got a few from the RIA, the ones that actually really do buy. And also from in the past, sending out letters to cash transactions.
Oh, okay. Sending cash buyers, sending postcards and mail to cash buyers list, just getting them on your list. That's fantastic. Cause that is, it's funny. Cause even some of the new wholesalers that I come across in Atlanta, you know, they'll lock down decent deals and they've got no buyers. And so here, just in the last couple of weeks, we've met a couple young guys and we'll basically just take those deals and sell them, either buy them ourselves or sell them for them. And they're super grateful because they don't have any buyers otherwise. It's one of those things, just about anybody can lock down a deal. You have to have the ability to sell it once you lock it down though.
Correct.
So I guess, you having been in the business for a while, you've had an opportunity to build probably a pretty extensive buyers list.
Right.
So very cool. Okay, so let's talk about, now you've done a lot of deals over the last so many years. Let's talk about maybe one deal in particular that stands out. Is there a best deal ever that's worth kind of delving into?
Yeah. This one deal, I want to say this is back in like 13, man. This deal was so easy. I was knocking on pre-foreclosure doors.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's, and to your listeners, man, if y'all think mail, direct mail is hard, man. You're knocking on pre-foreclosures is extremely harder than that.
So you were getting a list of pre-foreclosures and then driving that list yourself and knocking on doors?
That's correct.
Man, that's awesome.
And I mean, it's some really discouraging stuff. So,
how many angry people did you encounter?
I mean, majority of the people that's going to answer the door are going to be angry. They're gonna be angry, they're gonna be in denial, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot to them. So I had like 30 doors. I got one deal. I had two potentials. One person really followed through. We did the deal and we made $52,000 on that deal.
Dang. So you knocked on 30 doors and made basically how much? $52,000?
Yes.
On one deal?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Without touching it, no rehabbing, no nothing. Just we did have to close on it to stop the foreclosure. So we had to close on it. We paid her a relocation fee, turned around and sold it and netted 52K.
Oh my gosh! So it wasn't even a short sale or anything. I mean, she had enough equity in the deal already.
Yeah, she had enough equity in the deal already. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! All right, so let's talk about that. So you're knocking on all these doors. You finally get a hold of somebody that says, "Yes, I'm in distress. I'm behind on my mortgages. I'm willing to let it go for what? What did you end up buying it for?"
It was one after the hard money. Well, after the hard money points and relocation fee and all that, it was like 113.
Okay, I got you. So she might have said 105, and then you add some of that on there, and So you're in it for 113. And then so she moved. Did she move out then when you closed it, or did she hang around a little bit longer?
No, she got 50% when we closed, another 50 when she moved out.
Smart. Yep. Dangle that carrot to get him out of the house. That's perfect. And then you guys didn't even rehab it?
Nah, we didn't even touch it.
You just turn around and put it right back on the market.
That's correct.
You know what we call that in our business? We call that a flop. Oh. I think we came up with that. Where a flip is, you know, we go in there, we'll fix it up, we'll turn around and sell it to the market. If we get a house like this, you know, that we don't even need to touch, we'll just turn around and put it back on the market and sell it for a profit. We call that a flop. So you just turn around and put this back on the market for what, 160, 170, somewhere in there?
We put it out there for like 155 to my list, my cash buyers list, not even MLS, to my cash buyers
list. Okay,
And it got bid up to like 165.
Oh my gosh. 65K. So it never went on MLS, no commissions, sold it to your cash buyers list for a 52K rip. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the next question is, are you still knocking on pre-foreclosures?
I'm actually not, man.
I mean, it begs the question. I mean, if that works, or did you try it and it just you couldn't get any more deals after that? Was this just one of those lucky deals?
I'm not going to say that. I mean, you put the work into it, knock on enough doors.
Yeah.
You're going to get that one person who's going to be grateful that you're at that door.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Now, it's extremely interesting because you'll be at the door telling them, hey, look, Friday, this thing is over. And they rather lose it than sell it to you. because they'll be in denial. Oh, I'll take it. I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know, you are exactly right. We have talked to so many people that were about to get foreclosed on, and it's crazy. It's like this anomaly where people are truly in denial. They don't want to face it. It's like they bury their head in the sand and don't want to face the music, and they end up getting foreclosed on. It's amazing the number of people that are that way.
Yeah. You be like, lady, look, I'm going to pay you, or sir, I'm going to pay you this amount. Then, no, we took care of that already, man. I took care of that last week. So then you ride past the house. And you see a dumpster out there. You're like, yo, what's going on? You know, and then somebody bought it.
Yep. Golly, crazy. So do you still market the pre-foreclosure list, or are you mostly just going after absentee?
Oh, absentee.
Just absentee. Gotcha. The truth is, I mean, the pre-foreclosure list, it can be a good list. It's just most of the time you're going to be working through short sales, it seems like. And those short sales can drag on and on. So you sort of have to have the stomach for that. Nasser, so give us your website. Where can we direct people to maybe learn about what you're doing and also check out your podcast?
All right. Website is my blog, realestateduru.com. Okay. Not a guru, I'm a duru because I actually do this business. So that's DORU. realestateduru.com.
I love it.
Yes. Also, my youtube.com/realestateduru. I got over like 100 videos on there probably.
Nice.
And I just dropped a book in Amazon.
What? Man.
Check me out on Amazon. Flipping houses like burgers. You know? So flipping houses like burgers is on Amazon. It's number one in new release. So, you know, make sure y'all grab a copy of that. I got the ebook joint and I got the paperback copy.
Man, you are moving and shaking. And then the podcast just launched, and I'm assuming it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes, Flipping Empire Podcast.
Flipping Empire.
Yeah, Flipping Empire Podcast. Go to flippingempire.com. Flippingempire.com. But yeah, the podcast is on there. So, I mean, just make sure, you know, just show me some love.
Absolutely. And check it out because I'm on there as well. Even more reason.
Definitely.
Nasser, awesome, man. Thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, Ken.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners. This is Ken Corsini reminding you to check us out online at dealfarm.net. Feel free to download our free ebook, How to Invest in Real Estate. And do not forget, we still have our free t-shirt offer going. All you have to do to get a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt is go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Once you've done that, go to our website, email us and let us know that you've done it. Give us your address and t-shirt size, and the t-shirt will be in the mail immediately. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm. Take care.